In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Angels won the World Series this year, and not the Yankees. The Rams started their season losing 5 straight, and then beating the highest scoring team in the NFL. It seems like things in the world of sports this year have just been turned absolutely upside down. Sadly, it doesn't just stop there. We don't have to look very far in our world to know that something is wrong. Fraud and lies have brought down financial giants like Enron, WorldCom, and Arthur Andersen. The threat of a terrorist bomb lingers behind every unclaimed bag at the airport. And until recently, the simple act of filling up your car with gas, or going to work driving a bus, or taking a trip to Home Depot has put people in the crosshairs of a sniper's rifle. It seems that we live in a world that has been turned upside down, and something is wrong, and things are not the way they should be. Well, human beings, though, are very resilient, and we come up with all sorts of ways to deal with an upside-down world. People may try to tell themselves there is no absolute right or wrong, so if it feels good, do it. Some so-called Bible teachers will encourage your students to seek some sort of secret anointing and just stop sinning and everything will be fine. Self-help experts give us habits to cultivate and plans to make. People curved in on themselves have their ears filled with slogans like, nice guys finish last, and no one loves you like yourself. It's as if people are willing to stand on their heads to see things right side up in an upside down world. So it is with the Pharisees. As their expert in the law approaches Jesus with his question, Jesus had just silenced the Sadducees. Not only that, but he had avoided their trap and said, your problem is you do not understand the scriptures or the power of God. So maybe the Pharisees could do a little better, since the Sadducees' way of dealing with an upside-down world didn't work. See, the Pharisees knew the scriptures, and they loved the law zealously. They loved it so much that they held Torah in one hand and Mishnah in the other. The 613 laws of the oral tradition formed their way of looking at this upside-down world, and they hoped to trap Jesus with it. So the question comes, so teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, Jesus cannot be trapped, no matter how pious and righteous their question sounds. He cannot be forced into agreeing with the Pharisees' way of dealing with this upside-down world. It's not about 613 laws. It is about one command born of God's great saving love for his people. So Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On this all the law and the prophets hang. Their man-made rules are not the way of dealing with an upside-down world. It is not about conduct and laws, but a deep faith in and a consuming love for the God who first saved them. It is the gift of faith that shows itself in love to others that truly sets things right side up again. Now, this call to faith is really nothing new. Every time the Israelites heard the Shema ringing in their ears, they heard a call to love Yahweh above all else. Every time they heard the great stories of their history, they were reminded how God came to them through patriarchs, judges, kings, prophets, and wise men. God is not some rule giver from far off or a divine watchmaker who sets his creation down and lets it spin its way to oblivion. Author James Edwards says, God does something far more unsettling. He breaks into this world, even when he is unexpected and unwelcome. He is a divine intruder who sets things right side up again through the unexpected and even unwelcome God, man, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus would then turn the whole world and all who cling to him right side up again with his suffering and death. For those burdened with guilt, Jesus blesses with the forgiveness of sins. For those who are crushed with the fear of death, Jesus comforts with the promise of eternal life and the hope of the world to come. For those struggling to make sense of this upside-down world, Jesus draws people of every nation, tribe, and language to himself by his cross. That is the wonder of Jesus Christ, and he himself is the love we share with others. Jesus calls you, and he calls me today to bid and live a life that loves our God in faith and shows that love to others. This is a life that cannot be kept to itself because it is so different from this independence-driven, me-first, upside-down world we find ourselves in. By faith, we are able to give an answer for the hope that is in us. Through loving our neighbor, we are the salt and the light we were baptized to be. And by it, our Lord receives praise and honor. See, as God's baptized children, we are empowered and enabled to love our neighbor and live a life right side up in this upside down world. Jesus goes so far as to show us what this sort of life looks like in Matthew chapter 5 with his Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother is subject to judgment. You have heard it said, do not break your oath. You have heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. You have heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I tell you, says Jesus, do not look at a woman with lust. Don't swear at all. Turn the other cheek and love your enemy. Jesus gives us a new perspective and shows his followers what a life that baptismally flows from this greatest commandment looks like. This is life lived right side up in an upside down world. It is a life that is focused on the author and perfecter of our faith, who did not scorn the cross and left the tomb forever empty. There is a story is told of a Roman Catholic woman who was having visions of Jesus, so she told her bishop. Well, the bishop, being suspicious of this sort of thing, gave her a task and said, now the next time I want you to ask Jesus what sins I've spoken in the confessional that morning. So she agreed. A couple weeks later, the bishop gets a phone call from the lady saying she'd had another vision and that he should come right over. So he does, and he's sitting with the lady. So did you do as I asked? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the lady replied. I asked Jesus to tell me the sins that you spoke in the confessional that morning. So what did he say? At this point, the lady gets real serious and leans forward and takes the bishop's hand and looked square in his eyes and said, Bishop, this is what Jesus said about your sins. He said, I cannot remember. How wonderful it is that the Lord who calls us to love him and others is the same Lord who takes our sins and says, I cannot remember them. In his forgiveness we live. And we love. And we give thanks for our Jesus, who takes this upside down world and turns it right side up again. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.